This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as they experiment and navigate their unique design. I am joined today by Shay, and Shay is a fellow 5-1 reflector. She's a quad left with the cross of separation. So Shay is a women's health and wellness personal trainer and is also the podcast host of The Uncommon Exposé. So Shay's really passionate about women seeing their magic and beauty and being in their most authentic self in both their bodies and their beliefs and themselves in the world. And I'm really glad that you're here. We got here. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited.
Do you find that sometimes when you're the host of it, you naturally go into host mode? Like even if you're on somebody's podcast, you kind of know the flow and I find sometimes I want to go into host mode and I'm like.
Well, I don't know because I haven't been on a podcast.
You haven't been there yet.
This is the first one. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. I'll try not to. Want this to be like your show. I'm just the guest.
We're just banter. As I said to you off air, we're just having a chat.
Yeah.
One of the things I love to, and especially with your podcast, which I love, we were just saying that off air, it's very much about people sharing their stories. So I love this. It's like two like-minded souls going, we really get each other about how just sharing the story is really important. So for this story about you, I would like to invite you to share with our audience how you found human design or human design found you.
Through Instagram, the power of social media. I think I've always had an interest in horoscopes. So as a Sagittarius, I fit very much into being a Sagittarius. But I've been going through this, I'm going to say search for self for the past few years. I came out of a profession that I was really unhappy with, but it was one that I had wanted to do for most of my high school when I was in high school, and then I ended up doing this job and I hated it, and then I left that job and I felt so lost, and I was just searching for, I want to say, guidance from something outside of self. So as someone who is connected, I don't like spiritually, I was searching for something that gave me more support, more guidance, more answers than I could just find from, I'm going to say, like real world. And when I was on Instagram, I think just someone that I followed was talking about their human design. And I was like, well, hang on a minute, like, what is this? Maybe this is the key. Maybe this is the answer. And I just kind of went into a bit of a deep dive on human design and what it meant for me. And it just could answer so many questions and so many things about myself. And like, I'm a little bit cynical. I believe in psychics, but I think there are a lot of like frauds. I believe in like the powers beyond self, but I'm also like, how much is science? How much is faith? So I feel like went into it a little bit cynical and, oh, like, is this it? But there were just answers that I could get from human design and my profile that were uncannily accurate, that I thought, like, this can't just be guesswork. There has to be more to this and truth in this than just someone having a guess at what, oh, you know, you're a manifestor, you're a generator, you're a reflector. Like there's truth to it.
It feels like that. Tell me you're a 5-1 without telling me you're a 5-1. I love that. Yeah. Natural skepticism. It's like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Where's the solid foundation? And that's that first line of ours. It's just, have you found that as well? Just, you know, 5-1 to 5-1. There's this need to know. Again, it's this need. Yeah. I mean, there's more underneath the surface here than just saying I've got a one line, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always been like that, question after question, and like relentless until I can find the fact, the absolute bottom line truth. If it's not that, then it's not answered.
Yeah. I love that. So funny. I like this because every time I ask this question, and depending on who I'm speaking with, it reminds me, it sort of kicks me back to the moment that I pulled up this chart. And for sometimes I hear from people that it's very much a, I felt so seen. And other times it's like it was shocking and you didn't know. When you pulled up that chart and it said you're a reflector, I guess you didn't know much about human design, but it's like, what the fuck is what is this? And then when you looked at it and it says 1%, like, can you do you have that visceral feeling in your body of how that felt for you?
Absolutely. I was like, this is wrong. I am not a reflector. Like, what a crap profile. There are all of these like manifestors and generate manifesting generators and all of these like driven profiles. And I was like, I'm not a reflector. And I tried all these different sites, kept asking my mum, like, what was my time of birth? Like, are you sure? Because it initially didn't seem right. And I was very like against being a reflector because to me it seemed like the crap one when I started. Like there was not, it was a lot of doesn't have self emotions, doesn't have drive, uses other people's momentum to get things done. And I was like, well, that's wrong. Like if I look back at all the things that I've done in my life, there's no way that that's what I am. So I was really disappointed. It just did not settle in me to the point, like there were things, like I said before, that I was like, that's so true. But then I was like, no, that can't, this isn't right. So yeah, I was really disappointed. And it took me a lot of, I'm going to say, like research and kind of having a look at other people with reflector profiles. And Sandra Bullock's a reflector. So seeing like, okay, well, she's quite accomplished. Success is a huge drive for me in life as a person. That because reflectors didn't seem to have that drive, that I was, yeah, disappointed. But now that I look back and have done more research and seen how the strengths of being a reflector, I can feel more like, no, actually, this is accurate. This is who I am. Is that kind of what you were asking for? Like, is
I
that the question?
truth be told, that's one of the reasons I started this podcast because I just got a couple of years into this and I got fed up because I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, they're telling us that we've got no energy, that we can't do this. Whereas every single reflector and human that I've spoken to, yeah, we have our lulls, but I tell you what, we're powerhouses. I feel that. And there may be a part of us
I'm
that
even getting
has.
goosebumps as you say that.
Oh, yeah, I love, but it's we, yeah, there might be a lot of borrowed energy. I understand that. And there's a lot of times where we have, like self-sacrificed ourselves or self, just kept pushing through, pushing through. But so does everyone. But I have yet to this day met a fellow, like if we put ourselves in this box of being a reflector, I am yet to meet somebody who hasn't gone through diversity challenges and come out the other side. And that's when I go, there's something here about the fact that this, when they say our aura is very Teflon, and there's something in that for me to go, yeah, there is a part of me that I don't attach to things. How does that feel for you?
Like it's funny because, again, the emotion thing is definitely something that I feel kind of 50-50 in. Like I definitely know that I feel what other people feel and can like not take it on board, but give that back to them. And like we had a cyclone recently in the area that I live in, and everyone was panicking, but I was like it's fine, it's fine. But then there are other points where I am so emotional over things that I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like I feel like that is probably one of the parts that is less true for me. And I think that, there personally, like, and you would know more about this, there are things that are going to be really strong and reflect to certain attributes, and some that are probably going to be on the back burner a little bit. And that's one that I'm probably, and like I said, I'm still only kind of learning and feeling my way through this. So it's still like, I'm torn a little bit, I guess, because I feel emotions so strongly that sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know with an answer to that.
For me personally, but I've always found that I feel deeply, but it's more of a This is hard to put into words, so I'm really glad I'm
Yeah.
having this conversation. I feel deeply, but often what can happen is it's like a learned behavior that I think I've got to be emotional about something. But actually, when I tap into
Okay.
that, I'm like, yeah, good, thanks. I can literally pick up emotions and drop them really quickly.
Yeah,
And the
okay.
more that I've explored this, the more I'm just like, oh, and that's when I started, me personally, I started to go back and go, oh, all of this stuff that I'm picking up, feeling like I'm told that I'm this or I'm that, it's actually not me, because I can just drop it like a pen and go, oh,
Yeah.
5 minutes ago I was bawling my eyes out and now I'm good, thanks. And I'm like, what's with that? So
Yeah, okay. That's
I
a really
have a
interesting perspective.
yeah.
Yeah, well, I hadn't really considered that it was just a learnt. I more think of being a reflector as like imaging instantly, but not like basis learnt behavior. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think
Yeah.
the mirror is what other people are seeing in themselves, because I'd love, again, we're going on to another topic here, but getting back to the emotions, I can now distinguish between what's mine and what's not. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make of just going, oh, there might have been years where I was extremely emotional, but who was I around that was really emotional that I was also amplifying? So, that's when I love this journey of just going, when we start to look back through our journey of life, how much we've been reflecting other people's or amplifying other people's emotions, thoughts, feelings, desires, when they're not really ours. And so that's why we can kind of like shift hobbies really quickly, or shift directions really fast.
No, absolutely. That's so insightful. Obviously, like you've had a long time to play with this, but that's really like you know how sometimes you can read something or you can absorb it from somewhere else, but it doesn't like stick. But what you're saying now is, yeah, very mentally challenging in a positive way, you
Yeah.
know, food for thought.
Sorry about that.
No, it's good. I'm here
It does
for
hit you. You just start to break it down, and I love that,
it.
because you're speaking about the skepticism. So it's just like, well, if I'm this, if they say I'm this, how can I investigate and research that? Like, so I don't know. That's just been my funsies. It's just been like, well, going into, I think in the first couple of years, I went into schoolyards, picking up the kids from kindy or prep, and just watching what's happening today and how am I influencing somebody? Because relationships change. You can just be, you're the same, you feel you're the same. I'd love your feedback on this. And every given day, you're just like, oh, I'm just Shay being Shay. But their reaction to you is different. How's that been for you with your friendships and relationships? Tough one.
Can you ask me that in a different way? I'm
Yeah.
not too sure.
If you feel, so you're kind of like journeying through life and you feel like, well, nothing's changed in my orbit, but suddenly someone's changed the way that they're interacting with you, or you suddenly get a thing of going, oh my gosh, have I done something wrong? Or it's different, but you feel you're the same. You're the same.
I kind of feel like I definitely have those moments where I'm like, oh, have I done something? Have I said something? But I generally see like the way that I feel emotions of other people as a superpower because I can take whatever they're feeling, and maybe this is because I'm a bit separate from it from what we were discussing before, but I can like feed that back to them. And if they're upset, kind of drive down into like what is upsetting you, or if they're happy, I want to learn more about that. So I can like, I don't feel like they've shifted because of me. in the way that I am, it's because of what I have given back to them that they have needed to, whether it's, yeah, discuss something that's emotional or it's sad or painful or ner they're anxious or nervous about something. And I give them that space to be honest and open. And that's where the shift happens. And vice versa, if something's really good and really positive for them, and I give them the space and the room to share that with me, then that's where the shift comes from, because they have seen that I'm there for them. I want to celebrate or be with them for whatever they're going through. That's where a shift typically comes from, not just because of like, that's obviously who I am, but it's not just me being me. It's because I've opened the room, opened the space for them to have whatever it is that they need to have.
I love that. That's a really, really inspiring way on it. Because a lot of the times, reflectors that I speak with, and myself included, there have been instances where we've gone into spaces and we feel the same. We're like, oh, yeah, I'm just Annie being Annie, or I'm Shay being Shay, and something's off. And sometimes what we can do is we take it personally. We think, oh, it's something we've done. But I love what you're just sharing there of going, no, I'm actually inviting a deeper conversation into this and going, hey, is everything okay with you? And that's really, really inspiring, because that's how we shift conversations. That's how we open it up. You okay?
And like, don't get me wrong, I definitely have points where I've been like, oh, have I said the wrong thing? Because as we were discussing, I think it was off air, like we're very good at sticking our feet like straight into it, and having very little tact. Well, I have very little tact. So sometimes there are definitely times where I've thought, oh God, I've done something. But then again, if I do think that it's me, I still can open the space for them. Hey, like, have I upset you? Is everything okay? And then that's just where the shift is. I try really hard not to fixate on it that it is me, because I think most of the time it can't be. I'm great. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You're a Sagittarius. Are you a fire
Yes,
sign?
exactly.
Fifth line Sag and a
Exactly.
fifth line Leo. I know. We've got a fellow friend in Kaz, so she's
Yes.
always illuminated to me. The beautiful aspect of being okay with being a Leo. I love that. I think she's probably read for you as well.
Yeah, she has.
It's like this, just embrace all of these parts of ourselves, like embrace all of the astrology, embrace all the human design, and just go, yep, that's me, and that's how I'm going to show up.
That's right. And like, you get to, and it probably comes down to an age thing where I know that personality, I'm not going to change now. I'm never not going to stick my foot in it, because I do it without realizing. It's a unconscious, subconscious trait that I have. I can't spend my time worrying about the things that I have said, because it's going to happen. And it's never malicious or with ill intent.
I love that. No, it's really good. I love these conversations, because they invite us all to ponder, because we can get a bit serious about shit sometimes, hey. And this is my journey this year of just going, this is my sixth year in this, and I've probably taken it sometimes way too far. And just, sometimes we've got to relax and just go, I'm actually a full, I'm more than just a label of being a reflector. I'm more than anything else. We are the culmination of our whole life experiences and who we're around. And the joy is the journey, and the joy is just kind of appreciating us more, isn't it? And just going, I see you, girl. You're good.
Exactly.
The journey of, in my experience here, and I'd love to hear yours. Again, I'm going back to that. We're going to pull up the chart. And I shared with you the reason I started this podcast, because I felt it was just like, far out, this is just bullshit. Like, what, where are the people speaking from a lived experience of this, instead of just some guy going on LSD for 7 days and telling us what it is? You know what I mean? So, having these conversations, and but I push it even more sometimes, because what happens for a lot of us is we bring up this app or whatever it is. Says you're a reflector, you're 1%, you got to wait now a lunar cycle to make decisions, and you got to sleep alone. There's all these little kind of like things, and I want to look at them from this part of me to go, Their rules, I'm going to rebel against that. I know you've got a lot of rebellion in your chart as well. The other part of me is like, okay, well, let's entertain this and see if there's merit. How's that journey there been for you?
The rules are hard because, like, particularly the weight lunar cycle, is hard. And also the other thing that I found to be really challenging is, as a reflector, you need to hear people's perspectives. So you need to share your problems with them to hear the different sides of things. And then naturally that kind of goes against my grain because I'm a massive oversharer, but deep down, I think like everything should be private. And if you're having confrontation with one person, whether for me it would be a client or even a friend, like that's very loyalty is a huge like core foundation. So if you have something going on with a client or with a friend, you don't discuss that with anyone except maybe a close partner or another close friend. So sharing things with lots of different people often made me feel really guilty trying to find the answer that I was looking for. Also really helpful, because I would have then lots of different opinions, and I was able to kind of cherry pick the answer that I was looking for because I couldn't come to it by myself. But then I would, double that with guilt of, oh God, I've shared too much. I've shared, it's never been private details, but like, what if it gets back to this person that I've been talking about them behind their back? That's been a really like tough journey for me. I think it's been so important because I do need other people's opinions and advice to help me, particularly when like you run a business by yourself. You need multiple sounding boards. One just isn't enough sometimes. But then as well as someone who is very driven, and this was something that we discussed earlier, waiting a lunar cycle to make a decision is oh so long, because sometimes. And I'm impatient. I'm so impatient. I don't want to wait that long. I just want to get it over and done with. I want to make my decision. And so, like, I've tried to make a decision, but with caveats that have been let me get out of that decision if after a little amount of time I've decided it's the wrong one. Does that make sense? So trying to use both tools, but shift them to a way that is fitting for me. Like if it was a gym contract, for an example, like this isn't an actual thing, but I would sign up for the shortest amount of time because then I would know that in a month, if it's not for me, I can just cancel rather than waiting a month and not getting anything done in that time. So I would try and find the caveats of, well, if I do this, if it's not right, I can get out of it this way.
Yeah, that's very clever. Because I don't know about you, but holy shit, I've made some poor decisions in the
Oh,
past.
absolutely.
When you get caught
Absolutely.
in that, and we, this is what I love. This is one of the things I absolutely love about human design is that whole going, suddenly, this is who I am now.
Yes, this is my personality.
I'm going to do these things and I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden, the shiny wears off, and you're like, yeah, oh, I don't know what I was thinking there. How many of those stories have you had? I'd love to know.
Oh.
Oh.
So many. There was a long time before I found human design and had Karen read for me that I was sure I had ADHD, because the stopping and the starting and the pure obsession with something for a certain amount of time, and the indecision and all these other things, I was like, oh, do I? Surely there's something more. And then I kind of have found human design and being a reflector, and so it has made more sense, because my mum was like, you don't have ADHD, you don't. And I was like, but there's something else. So yes, so many things have I started and made my personality, and then a week later I'm like, that's weird, I don't even like that anymore. I've got all these things. Yeah, definitely.
I've often found that need to kind of like move, and that's or change, shift up, or what I call natural sampling. It's a part of us. Sorry, my mouth is still really numb, and
No, you're okay.
if anyone's listening, I've been to the dentist this morning, so I've got like lurch mouth. Yeah, this feeling of just like having to shift and change, it's a part of, in a way, that's one of the things I love about human design, because it's allowed me to go, I can do all these, explore all these things, and it's okay now. Whereas in the past, it was filled with shame, you know, that whole like, oh, why can't she? Oh, you, what's this new thing you're on now, Annie? And there's this part of you that just goes, oh, yeah, you know.
That has been since like learning about human design and being a reflector, one of the biggest and most profound shifts that I've had that has changed my whole life. Because for years I was looking for a career, one career that I would do for the rest of my life. And so I was in the military, and then I did a Bachelor of Nursing, and then I was looking to transition to be a doctor, and then I was looking at all of these jobs and professions that you do for the rest of your life, because that's what my mum had done. That's what lots of these other people that I know, everyone that I know has done. You just pick one job, and like they might change one job, and they might in their lifetimes have two or three different professions or jobs as they progress and they develop. But for me, I couldn't even find the one to start off that journey with. And it's only been, yeah, I would say within probably the last maybe 2 to 3 years since learning about human design, that I've been like, no, I can make money from a podcast while I run boot camps, while I, learn how to paint, while I write a book, while I, do this and do that. I can do eight things as at once to earn money. Like I can earn $100,000 from doing three things that I love instead of earning $100,000 doing one profession that I hate. Like learning to just express myself and monetize that, become an entrepreneur and earn money from, and this isn't for everyone because sometimes this can take the love out of something for someone. But if I don't try to earn money from a hobby, I just let it die. But if I try to monetize it, it drives that passion, it drives, like, it fuels me to want to do it more. And then I love it even more. So it's not about, yeah, just one profession, it's about learning how to survive on the things that I love.
God, I love that. It's so interesting hearing that, and especially, ex-military as well, being a reflector. Like there's a couple of guests that I've had that are ex-military, and how that shift is, and especially being a quad left, and that might be a new concept to you, but you're very much left orientated, so it's more of a strategic mind, strategic body. You're kind of equipped to that, to be able to, because if you're the opposite way in the military, it might have been a different story. But for me, sharing that, and I love this about us and how we can kind of have these conversations, as soon as I start to monetize a hobby, I lose interest. It literally is like the balloon gets deflated, and then I feel like it's a chore, and I'm done. I found that with human design. I thought, oh, I can actually, do stuff with this. But as soon as I tried to turn it into a money making, not money making, but it was like, nah, wasn't happening. And I'm like, that's just my life path. But yeah.
I think that, like, for me, because I've definitely had that with things, the shift has been not creating for someone else, creating for me, and letting the people that love that come to me rather than, so like I have an embroidery machine. And I was doing embroidery. I had it on Marketplace, just names and things like that. And it was draining. It was horrible, and I hated it. But when I started making things that I liked, and that I could see that other people were like, "That looks so cool. How did you do that?" And I'm like, "Oh, I've just done it on my embroidery machine." And they're like, "Can you do that for me?" Then I'm like, "Yeah, of course," because it's what I have loved. But when I was like, people were coming to me and being like, "Can you do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can." And then it was really draining, and I was worried that I was going to mess up whatever they had had in their head. Whereas, yeah, when I make it for me and then other people like that, it makes the process a lot easier.
That is so, again, that's like just hit me of going, whoa, thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, no,
Because
you're
it's
welcome.
true. As soon as you do something, even if you love it and you've loved it, love it, love it, but through your own lens, and as long as it's about your process or something that lights you up, it's going to continue to light you up. That just makes total sense. Don't do it other people's way. Science of differentiation right there. We're talking about this and it work because for reflectors, it's often like, well, they tell us that we don't have consistent energy and we can't fucking do a job and we can't. I call bullshit on that straight away because I don't know about you, but I can get stuff done. I don't work. I love that what you just said though, because that's echoing this. It's not doing it other people's way. It's about doing it our way because we can do multiple things at sometimes so quickly. Do you feel
And at
that?
a really high quality. Yeah, you can produce and produce and produce, and then you're like, oh my God, like this is incredible. I'm doing so well. I'm so productive. And things are really good. And you start a job and you can finish a job. But then when that job's done, it's like, oh, I need to stop. I need a break. I'm burnt out. I'm exhausted. Give me some space now. And then you take your space, and then it like, okay, I found this next thing that's firing me up that I want to create again. And then you can do that, and it's excellent, and you love it, and you love it. But if you try to recreate that without having the space, it's done. You're over it. It sucks. It was terrible in the first place.
I found that sometimes it's hard to complete things. It could be because I'm right to the left. I found there's a difference here that as I'm sort of like more journeying into this space, I want to finish something, but a lot of things sit at about 85%. Just can't get them across the line because I run out of fuel, you know? And it's been a journey for me to go, well, how do I find the fuel to get that completion? Or am I just a, do I have, like underlying trauma or things like that where I can't finish something? I've got to start many things. I can't finish it. So yeah, I do agree with you there. But I think it's a common thing of going, yeah, I've got all these ideas coming from that open head. Oh, I can do all these things. But then it's just like, boom, 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 boom. You're dragging yourself to the finish line. You're literally commando crawling across the line.
I find that like something that my mum has instilled in me since I was little, and I think I'm almost the opposite. When you start something, you have to finish it. You have to see it to the end, even if you hate it. Like you've got to find the positive and you've just got to get it done. So I definitely can finish things, but I also just burn out, and then I cannot produce at all. I can't do anything, and I get almost like in a depressive state for a few weeks, because I'm just so exhausted. And so really finding balance in that has been a huge learning curve for me.
How was that experience? If you wouldn't mind me asking, again, we were just touching on there before about having the quad left, having a strategic mind, having a very active body. This is human design lingo. Being in the military, there's a lot of rules, regulation, suppression as a reflector, like just using the mechanics of a reflector and picking up on everybody else's conditioned behavior. It's like a triple, quadruple conditioning, I could imagine. How long have you been out now?
I discharged in 2019, so I've been out for 6 years and I was in for 6 years. I would say my experience in the military was not all positive. I definitely don't think I have a personality that is suited for the military. I had some excellent experiences, but it's taken me a long time to get to a point in my life now where I can find the joy in life. Without going, I don't really want to like, I don't want to go into too much detail because there were so many things that like I've learned since being out. But it was not an, I had some, like I said, excellent experiences, but overall, my time in the military was not something that I would recommend to anyone.
And thank you for sharing that because I often feel as open-centered beings, there's a lot of empathy, there's a lot of absorption, there's a lot of like having to force yourself through things. That's just it is life, but it's more exacerbated. So having that awareness now and And looking back in all of our journeys of life, even becoming parents, becoming mums, right? That's another onslaught of, holy crap, I've got to look after these people, but I also want to look after my own energy. It hits us, right? It's this massive collision, I feel. Anyway, I feel like it's just like, what's happening here?
I would say motherhood has like it's been a challenge in itself. But for me, for the most part, it's been joy. I've really, if I compare my time when I was in the military to my time in motherhood, it's like polar opposites. And don't get me wrong, there are days when I'm screaming, but yeah, like 90% of it, I've found more of myself since having children, and I found more balance, and I found more well-being and happiness in life, just with and without them in myself since having them. So for me, that journey has been 100% positive, and there's things that they bring out in you. And it's not just for me, it's not about resilience, but it's about finding slowness, finding patience. Like I'm mentally tough, mentally strong because of all these other experiences, but slowing down, being patient, that is what they've taught me. And that has been such a core part, I think, of being a reflector, that it's been only beneficial.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? Just starting to slow down and trust that we need a sometimes a little bit of time. Mightn't need a 28-dayer, but even just giving ourselves a breather. When you found this, did you human design, that is, when you found human design, did you go through your family's charts? Did you just stalk them, or just like, no, this is a me and a personal thing?
Me, yeah, it was only about me. Because I think entering into it, like we said, a bit skeptical, a bit cynical, meant that if it wasn't right, then I wouldn't even bother. Like, if it had no truth to it, if I didn't feel like it resonated with me, like I wouldn't bother. But when even now that it has, because I'm still only learning about it, things don't instantly come to me. It's not a topic that I have endless knowledge, and I don't have a lot of people to talk about it because there aren't a lot of reflectors in the world. So no, it's just been between me and learning how it impacts me. And I think that when my girls are old enough to learn about it, then that this will be a message that I pass on to them, and it will be up to them to do their own discovery. Because I also feel that, and I think I said this just before, it doesn't matter how many times sometimes someone can say something to you, it doesn't sink in until you can see it for yourself. And that's probably like a personality thing for me, and my girls might be very different, but it's just the life lessons that you learn from spirituality, faith, even human design, horoscopes and whatever, it's lived. You can tell someone, oh yeah, like you said before, you can tell someone about you don't manifest your own emotions when you're like, no, that's wrong. But until you can see that in your own life and it plays out, then you can kind of take the truth in it. So yeah, I haven't really looked into it for anyone else, but I have told and multiple people about human design and said, be on your way.
Do you know your children's types? Have you've run their
No,
charts?
they're Capricorns, both of them. And that's as deep as we've gone.
And that's, I love that. I love that experience for you to go, well, when they're ready, and you don't need to be swayed by that, because even one being a reflector, we're the 1%, right? But when you look at the world's population, that's still quite a number of people. And then two, you get lumped into the next category of going, well, what's your type? Well, sorry, what's your profile? Five ones. And of all the five ones that I've met, because there's a lot of us, because we're universalizers, we're all different in how we process. So we've got, the quad rights, and we've got the quad lefts, and we've got the different, there's so much nuance to it that not any one of us is ever the same in our experience. And I love that, and I love exploring that. But there's one always common denominator, is that there's something here about this fucking system that we
Yeah.
feel really like going, there's something here. I don't quite know yet what it is, but
Yeah.
maybe if I allow myself to slow down in life and just feel into who I am and my
Yeah.
experience, then if that's the best anybody can get from it, then I'm like here for it. I'm like,
Yeah,
yep.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Would you like to share with us and the listeners here? I want to know this podcast series that you're doing or this podcast that you have, because I feel it's just so important for people's stories. As we were sharing, like we're similar here. Can you share?
Yeah, of course. So my podcast, as you did say at the beginning, is the Uncommon Exposé, where I share women's lived experience. And I've had so many incredible women. It's just coming on and sharing their story that, and some of them have been quite traumatic. Some of them have been really positive. Some of them have been in that midpoint where, but they're just so inspiring, and my whole mission is just to connect women. I feel after so many years of patriarchy, there's such a divide sometimes, and still quite a lot of judgment where people almost don't think about the other side of the story before they've made a dis like an opinion or a decision about that person. And when you can start to hear the other lived experiences and the other perspectives, and whether it might not be about the same situation, but I feel like it can just give an opportunity before you make a decision about something to be like, oh, maybe there is more to this person before I've judged them for XYZ. So I really love it, and I love the messages that I get from people who have come on and shared their story. I get goosebumps every time I talk about it. But women who have come on and said that they like it's been just such a cathartic healing process to have their side of the story out there. And then the messages that I get from women who have listened to the stories of these brave women saying things like that it's changed their life. That they didn't know that that person had been through that, or that they have taken whatever that story may be and have been able to pass that information, that story onto someone else, and it's helped them. I've had some incredible women share stories from one woman was married and pregnant, and her husband had an affair. There was another, I have about 25 episodes, I think. Another woman who is a refugee from Vietnam in the 80s and 90s. Another woman whose mum had diagnosed OCD. So she was raised by her grandparents because her mum had stopped feeding her, because she couldn't handle bacteria and germs. Just a woman who was a victim of female genital mutilation, a woman whose husband is a quadriplegic, but he was a quadriplegic before they had met. So she fell in love with him completely as a person. It was never really, that what he could provide. He's a provider, but there was just it's just incredible stories. So I just really love sharing them.
And thank you
Yeah.
for doing that,
No,
because I'm
it's
really, really, really passionate about that. We all have a story.
yeah,
And it's,
that's right.
as you say, it's so healing and cathartic to be able to share that story.
Yeah.
It also meets ourselves sometimes with a little vulnerability and shame. Like, I know
Yeah.
just sharing this journey that we've been on, it's like sometimes people go, oh gosh, did I say too much?
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
And
it needed to be said.
there's a lot of evidence within psychology and psychiatry that hearing yourself tell a story, like hearing it back to you, can heal a lot of trauma. So some women have like listened to their story back and have found a lot of healing, not just from sharing their story, but hearing it back to them and been able to take it from a different perspective as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just I feel that I'm just so grateful and honored that these women are sharing their stories with me. And it's not, I feel like this is one of the first projects that I've ever taken, and it's not about me. It's about these women and about their experiences. And I tell everyone about it because I don't feel conceited. Like, yes, I'm doing this, but it's not about me. It's about them and sharing and trying to tell as many women as I can, even if it just changes. And this is what basically every guest that I've had has said, even if it changes just one person's life, then like that's mission accomplished.
Amen, sister. There you go. I feel very much the same in a completely different way. It's just, it's all well, same sames, but it's just, yep, that's what it's about. It's just having a chat, having a human connection.
That's
Thank
it.
you.
That's what it is, really, having a human connection, because we're just so segregated and separated with social media and things like that now. But I guess if there was no social media, there would be no podcasts.
Yeah, so there you go. There's the
Double-edged
practicality of that one
sword.
right there. How can people find you and the podcast, Shay?
So I have an Instagram page, which is The Uncommon X, and then we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No
And thank you so
worries.
much for sitting in space with me.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no, it's just been good just to chat, get to know you, your local, well, your localish. We're in the Southeast Queensland region together. So I look forward to hearing more about your journey, and you never know, hey, what's going to happen. But thank you so much for sitting in space with me. I really